Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 10th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 89, the first paragraph that begins with practical experience shows, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Maria F. will be reading the 12 steps. Shelley E. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Kara L., Shannon M., and Sandy W. The share ID for Sunday, February 9th, the special edition, is 14,095. That's 14,095. And for this morning's February 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,097. 14097. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary B., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Maria F. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. My name is Maria F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from County Dublin in Ireland. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One.
Oops. Maria, we can't hear you.
Maria, are you there? I think we may have lost Maria.
Yeah, it looks like she got booted off the line. Yeah. Oh, there she is.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There she is, I hope.
You hear me? I'm sorry it cut out there. I'm sorry. The call just dropped.
Okay,
you're there. Go ahead, Maria. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to do service.
And thank you, Maria F. Okay, Shelley E., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
You bet. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in a new chapter, Working with Others. We're on page 89, the first paragraph that begins with practical experience shows. And Kara L., if you could get us started this morning.
Sure. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And this is, I think, you know, for me today as a recovered compulsive overeater, this is one of the cornerstones of my program today, is working with others. And nothing will bring me back to the steps more than taking a new person through. You know, right now I'm going through the steps again, and I get to reread the Big Book. I get to see the Big Book from another's perspective. I get to learn with them. Recently I got a new Big Book, and so it doesn't have all my highlights in it anymore, and it doesn't have all of my underlining. And so as I'm reading through with my sponsees, I get to see new things, and I get to learn new things. I was just talking about this with another fellow that, you know, that's that identity piece where it says you can help when no one else can. But that identity piece of I've been there, I understand, you know. I know for myself, I wouldn't have trusted somebody else that hadn't eaten like I had eaten, or somebody that hadn't felt what I had felt. It's that identity, that belonging, that, you know, that laugh in a meeting when it's not really funny, but we all get it, you know, or the gentle nodding of a head, you know, that makes me feel a part of, because I spent a lot of time in isolation. And it's what gives me food neutrality today, right? because I get to be with my higher power helping someone else. And it's amazing how sponsees come to me. Either I put my name out, and I always have somebody, because God is always giving me somebody to work with so that I can be of service, and also that so that I can grow and learn to become closer to my higher power. So with that, I'll pass. I look forward to hearing from everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara, for getting us started this morning. Okay, who else would like to share? We're on page 89, the first paragraph, practical experience shows.
Becca R.
Sandy W.
Becca R. Sandy W. Are we alone this morning? Is there anyone else
Sherry
that wants
Joe
to share C. on this?
Sherry
Jo C.
C. Thank you.
Sherry Jo C.
Laura W.
Laura W. I can take two more names. So jump in if you're on the line. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Roz G. can share.
Roz G.
Natalie G.
And Natalie G. Great. Okay. So I have Becca R., Sandy W., Sherry Jo C., Laura W., Roz G., and Natalie G. So go ahead, Becca R.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R. calling in, recovered compulsive overeater from Kentucky, but calling in from Florida. And I love this reading. It just gives me the clear-cut direction of what to do. And it's a guide for me what to do living in recovery. You know, I've worked the steps. I'm carrying the message. I'm doing the deal day in and day out. And what do I do when I'm restless, irritable, and discontent? What do I do when I have that nudge? I turn myself into service. And whether that's service in the program or just service to others, that spirit of service was never part of my identity before being in recovery. And it's, the slogans that I would hear, used to roll my eyes at when I came in, but, you know, I find myself saying them to sponsees all the time, you know, pour yourself into service, work with another person, recover, recover, recover. Like, and it's so reassuring to me as a sponsor because I want to maintain, I don't ever want to get up on a perch and tell someone what to do, but it's so good for me to come from that place of, well, this is what my sponsor told me to do, and that's recover, 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 pour myself into service, reach out to the newcomer. And I think as a recovered compulsive overeater, I like to really impress upon other newcomers that, you know, if you have 14 days, to the person who's still in the food, that's a lifetime. Like that you have so much to give. I used to think that I had to be through the steps, fully recovered, you know, had to make it to a year for some reason in my head. That was an absolute block of time that made me okay to reach out. But, you know, at 1 month I could help the brand newcomer. In 2 months I could help the person at 1 month. But, you know, there's always something to give, and it is such a disease of isolation. And so the more that I can get out and be of service, you know, it just makes me think of that thing. If I want self-esteem, I have to do esteemable acts. You know, when I'm sitting in my couch isolated, being, you know, consumed with self-loathing, I don't have good self-esteem. But once I started working the program and I would make those outreach calls, or I would do the work, or I would randomly smile at somebody at the grocery store, you know, I started to build that self-esteem that I had been missing for so long. I'm grateful to be doing this alongside you guys. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. Okay, Sandy W., you are up, followed by Sherry Jo C.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks again for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut, just back from Florida. I'm a little jealous. But, you know, the line that really spoke to me is, nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking or compulsive overeating, in my case, as intensive work with other alcoholics. You know, I've said this line to myself, and I repeat it often to the women that I work with, especially those that are starting on their step 12 and afraid to sponsor. Because, you know, between that line and what I've heard so often on this line, that we shouldn't be afraid to sponsor, but instead be afraid not to sponsor. You know, those are some of my go-tos when I'm dealing with someone who is. And I remember my fear when I started sponsoring. You know, I finally got up the courage to put my name out on this line, and three women contacted me asking me if I was still available to sponsor them. You know, I think there's a part of me that really wanted to get out of it because I explained to them that I was new to sponsoring. They'd be my first sponsee. But they were willing to take that plunge with me anyway. And boy, am I glad that they did, because it was within a couple of days I had gotten a phone call. My son, who lives several states away, had to have emergency surgery. So I found myself on a plane praying about a number of things related to his situation, but also praying, why God, would you give me these sponsees now? You know, I'm retired. I generally have a fair amount of time that I can dedicate to working with others. But now when I'm going to be needed for my son as well. Well, reading this line again tells me the exact reason why. It was because I needed all the protection I could get around my abstinence and my recovery. And that's what the step 12 promises me, you know, this immunity. You know, that was almost 3 years ago now, and sponsees have certainly come and gone since then. But I learned a beautiful lesson then that completely reinforced what this paragraph says. You know, I need to always be working intensively with others, you know, selfishly because of the protection it gives me, but I've also found because of the joy and fulfillment that sponsoring brings. You know, I'm the guide, only sharing my experience, hope, and strength, and my work in the steps, and what living a recovered life is all about. You know, I do this work, and God provides the results, you know, and I just have to always remind myself that no one else could help me until I found this program and my guide, and now it's my chance to repay that debt. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks again, Kathleen.
Thank you, Sandy W. Okay, Sherry Jo C., go ahead, and you'll be followed by Laura W.
Good morning. This is Sherry Jo C., recovered in Southern California. Thank you so much. I really love this chapter and this paragraph. And as I read it this morning, the first word that struck me, of course, was immunity. And that is what I want. When I first joined Overeaters Anonymous and became abstinent, it was in the Detroit group of Back to Basics Abstinence group, as I like to say. I fell into their loving arms. And one of the things that we shared at that meeting amongst ourselves was that we wanted continuous, uninterrupted abstinence a day at a time. And I don't want to go back to what that was like when I was eating compulsively. I was a bottom-of-the-barrel compulsive eater, and I could not really get through anything in my day without either thinking about binging or actually being in the middle of a binge. And it was painful, obviously painful way to live. But when I went to that meeting and I heard people talk about being able to have immunity and neutrality around food, it was as if people had said they would jump and land on the moon. That's how foreign it seemed to me. And so I want that. I want the immunity. I want the continuous, uninterrupted abstinence. And I want to keep working all 12 of the steps so that I have the ability to help other people. I remember the first time that I ever did service at a meeting. I was helping to clean up afterwards, and most everyone else had left, and there was a woman there. This was in Michigan. It was in the summer. It was a very, very hot night, and she had been dropped off by someone and was waiting for her ride, and I said, I'll wait with you. And we waited outside, and it was mosquito-y, humid, hot night in Michigan in the middle of August, and eventually after about 20 minutes her ride came and picked her up. And I stood there and I just felt as if, I get emotional thinking about it, like I felt as if my whole body was alive. And I thought, I am capable of doing something to help someone else. And it was really the first time I experienced that. And I love how it says this is our 12th suggestion. I love the word suggestion. It's, you know, it's our suggestion if you want to actually not drown, if you want to grab this life preserver and have a chance at any kind of a life, here's our suggestion. And so I am so grateful to be able to carry the message of abstinence and the miracle that happens in working the steps, and the fact that I used to not be able to get literally from 1 hour to the next in a normal day without thinking about food or binging. And when I went to bed at night, my only thought was I get to binge again when I wake up. Sometimes I would in the morning say, today's going to be the day. I can make it till noon, you know, till lunch. And within a few minutes, I'd be binging. So to go from that state to actually having something to share with others and to see the miracle happen in others' lives is the whole reason that I'm here and that I want to stay. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sherry Josie. Okay, Laura W., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. There's nothing that I can add to what everybody said, but it talks about nothing will so much ensure immunity. Nothing means, you know, tells me how this is going to keep me recovered. Nothing is going to ensure immunity, which means protection from drinking, from compulsive eating, from restricting, from binging and purging, as intensive work with others. Intensive to me means exhaustive, you know, like I can't just do this occasionally. I have to do this daily. Just like I need to stay abstinent daily, I need to work with others daily because my disease is sneaky and it wants me to be alone and it wants me to make excuses and justifications. And, you know, and it also selfish. You know, it doesn't want me, it goes against my total nature to ask somebody, how can I help you? And not just ask, but then follow through on helping them. That's not me. That's not, you know, however, that's how I live today. And it's a wonderful feeling, and it's genuine. It's not like I'm not faking it. Like, I really want to help people. And somebody shared also, this is our 12th suggestion. Yeah, it's suggested, just like it's suggested you pull the ripcord on a parachute when you jump out of a plane. I mean, this is not, I can't just do steps 1, 2, and 3 or just do a quick 9th step and say I'm sorry to people and then expect to get the promises working in my life. I need to work all 12 steps. And the 12th suggestion is the 12th step is to carry this message. Nobody else was able to help me other than another compulsive eater. You know, therapists have tried, parents tried, my husband tried. Nobody was able to help me. Because we're all ill together, and I understand what someone else is going through. They understand what I'm going through. And then there are promises to the 12th step. You know, we'll read about those tomorrow, but there's promises. And this step shows me that my life is a miracle, but I must find someone. This is not an option. I must find someone. It's not about me. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message, and I need to carry that message one day at a time. So keep coming back. Thanks, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Roz G., you're up, and you will be followed by Natalie G.
Good morning. This is Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and exercise bulimic in Palmdale, California. And I'd like to kind of drill down, as Charles H. says, on the two words here, practical experience. And in order for me to help another compulsive overeater, I need to have had practical experience. And in my very early days of Overeaters Anonymous, my ego was running my life. And, you know, being in charge of anybody or telling anybody what to do or anybody asking me for help was a big ego boost. So I started sponsoring too early. And I hurt people. I hurt their feelings. I was mean. I thought I was like a dictator sponsor, and that just boosted my ego. And, you know, I hurt them. I've apologized to everybody One of them was a dental hygienist who actually was in her chair. I was in her chair, and she said, "You were my sponsor at one time." And I thought, "Oh, my God." I grabbed her hand, and I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." But, you know, now I've learned, I've heard Harlan G. say, if you're not recovered, do them a favor and don't sponsor them. And so I agree, it's scary not to sponsor somebody, but it's also scary to sponsor somebody without recovery. And another part of my practical experience is I can share the relapses. I can share relapses over relapses. I can share over exercising. And and I'll stop with that. But another thing I can say is Friday night loneliness, you know, the isolation that I've been hearing people share about, that's a great time to sponsor people for me. Actually, my sponsor and I have, she has said, well, what, you know, because I had a relapse in July, so my last day of abstinence is July the 11th. So I have almost 7 months now, but anyway, I haven't taken a new person on, but anyway, what I did spend a lot of time in other programs on Friday nights if I'm feeling lonely. I didn't have a date. Well, I can sponsor, you know. Outreach calls. I can do that. But right now I'm in my fifth step. I'm going to be doing my fifth step with her in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully in the next, you know, couple of months I can get back on and say I'm available. But the practicality is the practice, okay? Do I have recovery to share? Am I so solidly recovered? I think that's important, at least for me. Instead of my ego sponsoring you, my experience can do it. To me, that's humility. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Okay, Natalie, before we take Natalie, just a reminder that we are on page 89. We're reading the first paragraph that begins with practical experience shows. And I'll be taking some more names after Natalie. So go ahead, please, Natalie.
Hi, everyone. This is Natalie G. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. It's so nice to be able to say recovered. I never have been able to. Since I got my entire abstinence back in November, and it's just a really cool thing to be able to say. Anyway, I've been sponsoring since I came into the program 10 years ago, and not right away, but I think after I finished my fourth or fifth step, that's what we were doing at the time, and that's what my sponsor suggested. And as someone shared, I don't think I shouldn't have been sponsoring, but I certainly wasn't giving away recovery as it's been defined by having an entire abstinence. And I did experience recovery in this program, even not having an entire abstinence. I mean, I've had physical recovery, I've had mental and emotional recovery. And but I love that now as a sponsor, I actually have actual recovery, like I'm recovered. And the difference between those two is enormous, and I can share that with my sponsees and talk about, you know, what the difference is. What I wanted to say about working with others is I think when they say practical experience shows us, it means, you know, those early members in AA, they couldn't stay sober unless they were working with others. That's their practical experience, and that's my practical experience as well. I have to work with others because I have a disease of amnesia. This disease does not want me to remember what it does to me. It doesn't want me to remember what it feels like to be in the food, and it doesn't want me to remember how horrible I am as a person when I'm in the food. And so when I work with others in whatever capacity, especially through sponsoring, I remember because I hear what they're doing and I'm reminded about what I'm doing and still doing because I still have to do 10, 11, and 12. I'm reminded of how close I am still to that person I was before. and I don't want to go back there. And then I get to listen to what they are going through and their ideas. I love to hear what my sponsee's guidance from their higher power is. It's so amazing. It's like nothing I would ever dream up or come up with. And then I get that as a help as well. There's like a higher power connection, you know, not just my higher power, but I hear my higher power through theirs. And it's such an amazing network and support to work with others this way and be supported in the program. Thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Natalie G. Okay, who else would like to share on this first paragraph, page 89, Practical Experience Shows?
Laura M.
Who would? Laura M.
Reggie
yes.
O.
Reggie O. Sounded like there might have been someone else in there. I have Laura M.
Oh,
Reggie Joanne. O. Wait, say that again.
Charles H. But I don't like saying
oh, Charles,
my name twice.
Sorry. Sorry, Charles, to make you say that twice. Charles H.
Joanne
who
B.
Was that? Joanne B.
Clara G.
Clara G.
Margaret N.
Okay. Margaret N. Okay, let's stop there. That's good. All righty. So Laura M., Reggie O., Charles H., Joanne B., Clara G., and Margaret N. So go ahead, Laura M.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
There you go. Yes, we can hear
Hi,
you. Thank you.
Hi, this is Laura. I'm in Florida. I love this. I'm newly recovered. And I really love this particular paragraph because before relapse and before becoming recovered again, I remember sponsoring, and that was part of what helped me, what led to my relapse was my ego growing. Because I was able to help so many people, I wasn't doing my own work. And I love that it says practical experience, not necessarily theoretical experience. And that it shows that nothing will so much inspire immunity that from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics or compulsive eaters. And I know my sponsor for me, when I came back on the beam, it was her strength and experience that I just got it. She just got it. And I found that even in relapse, I know we say, you know, we don't know what we don't know. But as I recovered several times, you know what you do know, and you kind of, I don't know, you can really play mental gymnastics with yourself. Anyway, what I really find is every time I do pick up the phone, whether it's a newcomer or helping somebody or putting my name out there for sponsoring, it really keeps me out of that self-seeking, selfish, fearful, self-pity mode or matrix, if you will. And getting out of self is one of the big proponents to sobriety or being sober or abstinent. And the only way to be able to really to do that is to reach out to other people and remembering that love and tolerance is our code and to be able to be present for somebody else and to carry, you know, the message to them. And it does seem to pack the most punch, even though writing really helps me and other tools, but truly showing up for somebody else. This program really does its magic in that way the most for me. So thank you for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura M. Okay, Reggio, you're up, followed by Charles H.
Thanks, Kathleen, and good morning, everybody. This is Reggio, gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, this first line, practical experience, shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. And I was just remembering this story that I heard about Bill W. And that the first 6 months of his sobriety, he worked with a lot of people and not a single one of them got sober, and he was talking to his wife about that. You know, it's like, what, I don't remember, except, you know, what's the matter? I'm working with all of these alcoholics and no one's getting sober. What's the problem here? And his wife said, but you're sober. And he was, and he came very close to becoming unsober and drinking again. And on that night, he walked instead of to the bar down the hallway to something, and to find a number of a minister that could perhaps turn him on to other alcoholics in town that he could work with. And Dr. Bob was the guy, and, you know, and most of us know that the rest is history. So it does work. And I, you know, and carry this message to other alcoholics, or for us, other compulsive overeaters. And the message, you know, we hear that message every introduction to this meeting, morning meeting. And that is, you know, our message is that you can recover, you can become and remain abstinent through, you can recover through abstinence and through the working of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that, you know, that's what we do. The work is the 12 steps. That is the message. I was working with someone yesterday afternoon after a very long day. Sunday morning is generally my morning. I don't get out of my pajamas, but I showed up. I drove 35 miles yesterday to show up for a friend for a very important event. I knew it was to her, and you know, it was a great event for her. But for me, it was amazing what an experience it was for me. You know, I'd shown up to do service, and at the other end of the day, I was working with a sponsee who's finished the steps and that is going deeper. And I got to experience, you know, the ninth step promises of, you know, no matter how far down the scale we've gone, our experience, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And what she was working on was something that I had quite a bit of experience within my past, you know, and I'm healed and recovered from it. I've made my amends. It wasn't a, you know, a pretty part of my past, but I could share that, you know, and that's where, you know, no one can really help as we do, because we know, and we've been there and we've done that, and we have experienced what we're taking to other people. And and thanks everybody for your shares this morning. It's been great listening. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Reggie O. Okay, Charles H., you are up, followed by Joanne B.
I would like to add a year on to what the previous speaker said about the same individual, Bill W. So I'd like to take your attention to page 15, the first chapter in Bill's story. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, which I found little work. And I say the year and a half because they really didn't trust Bill as a recovered alcoholic, and I don't think he trusted himself as well. Because he said, I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued. Watch this. A year and a half recovered, right, by waves of self-pity and resentment. That sometimes nearly drove me back to drink. I think that 10-step and 11-step helped him out, and the 12-step. But I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times we have gone back to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It was a design for living that works in rough going. So that really complements and corresponds with practical application of working with other people intensively. I mean, and I've heard in the earlier meetings, which was really good money, take on a bunch of people, because chances are a lot of them going to drop off, and there's nothing we can do about it. Because the 12 steps says having had a spiritual awakening, we try. You know, and as the previous speaker says, Lois reminded Bill, you were sober by doing this method. It's a selfless program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Charles H. Okay, Joanne B., you are up, followed by Clara G.
Hi, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. Thank you for your service and those who are on the line. You know, when I read this, it's been amazing to me. I've only been in program about 2.5 years, I guess, and it's still amazing to me to see that when I fail to help others, how quickly I get shaky. And it's such a blessing, and I will tell those with whom I work, you know, my experience in that, because it's like someone said a little bit ago, this is a disease of amnesia, and I wasn't raised, you know, I wasn't in a 12-step program to come in with all my history of the program, and so I'm just always in awe of how my higher power shows me you're exactly where you need to be, Joanne, and you, and this is not going to end. This is a life thing, a life activity, which I'm so grateful for, learning how to live in this, the challenge of this disease, and just learning to have such a better mindset, and I'm just always in awe, but I have to work with others, and that's what protects me, and so I thank this group so much for the love they've shown me, you all have shown me, and the recovery you've blessed me with by sharing your recovery, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Okay, Clara G., it is your turn, and you'll be followed by Margaret N.
Thank you. I'm Clara. I'm a compulsive overeater. And in helping others, I like to remember that it says love and tolerance is our code. Because, yeah, if I'm the sponsor, some people like to think of the sponsor like your boss, your superior, your director. And I have to remember that I am just another person in the program that already did it, already did the 12 steps, and so now I'm trying to teach this new person what I learned or share my experience with this other person. And I am no boss, and I am no director, and I don't have the rights to be mean or bossy or anything like that, because actually that's an example of how the program does not work. But if I am loving and kind as a sponsor, then I'm giving them an example of how, you know, we're supposed to be. We end up being after working the steps and after God has removed main character of defects that we had. And about the fear of helping others, I like to remember that I am not alone helping this other person. That first, I have the help of God, and the person has the help of God. And secondly, if there's an issue that I have no experience with, I can send a person to talk to somebody else, and I can go to other people to ask, you know, and consult how to deal with that situation in order to help this person. Yeah, and so, and we try to carry the message. If the person doesn't stay sober or abstinent, well, that's not, you know, my doing or their, you know, who knows why that happens, but that is really not my issue. My issue is to try to carry the message in a loving and tolerant way and leaving everything on the hands of God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara G. Okay, we're going to have time for another person after Margaret N. Does anyone else want to get in the end of this queue?
Michelle J.?
Michelle.
Mary B.
Okay, so let's take Margaret N. I've got Michelle G. after and Mary B. if we have time. So go ahead, Margaret N.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you all for participating and coordinating this meeting. I'm really grateful to Vision, and I've been in 12-step rooms for using food to deal with life since 2012. And really, Visions has opened up a whole new world for me, and it's so amazing. And this carry this message to other alcoholics. I have sponsored before, and it was not spiritually based, and my perfectionism was raging, and it was me, because of my perfectionism, I didn't want anybody to know that I felt superior to them, but I did. And the people pleasing kicked in, and I didn't help them. I wasn't mean to them, but I was using them to feel good about myself. And so I am so grateful now that I can say I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I trust that I can become recovered, which I never trusted before, ever. I thought that was kind of crazy talk. But I see it now, and I'm so filled with hope now that that's my path where I'm headed. And it's not a straight path for sure. And that's okay, because life isn't a straight line either. And I do know that it's interesting in helping others. I'm not sponsoring, but I do a book study with a high school friend who's also in OA. And she's out of state, and it's just a really incredible way, loving way to stay in touch with her. But as we talk through our things, I find that anything that I have either not been aware of or been avoiding or been denying subconsciously, it will come up. And so in working with her, she's helping me keep my spiritual slate as clean as possible, because things I wasn't aware of for whatever reason, it comes up, and it's the most amazing thing. And then remember, they are very ill. It's like we, and so am I. I have that in me, and just because it's in the background and low, it's just a real low hum, doesn't mean that I'll ever be cured of it. It won't ever be gone. And actually, I'm grateful for it, because it's led me to this path. But it also helps me remember I'm not in control of my recovery, much less anybody else's. And my job is to stay centered in my spiritual base. So thank you so much, and good morning to everybody. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Margaret N. Okay, Michelle G., go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michelle J. from Arkansas, seat and thanking. That's okay. Thank you for letting me share this morning. I'm recovered and still recovering every day by the grace of God. As I am thinking and listening to everybody today, the wonderful shares, thank you all. Just thinking about how I manage this part of the program. And in all our affairs, I'm going to practice the steps. So when I'm working with somebody, or when I'm being a sponsor to somebody, I just keep running through those 12 steps and running everything through that filter. It's a great filter to have. And I say, well, do I admit that I'm powerless over this person's recovery? Well, yeah, I can't fix or change this person. And do I believe that a power greater than myself can restore that person to sanity? Yes, I do. And I go to the third one. You know, have I made a decision to turn this person, their recovery, over to the God of my understanding? Or am I trying to take charge? Am I trying to fix? Well, I'm going to make sure that I'm turning it over to the power of my understanding. And then I make a fearless and searching moral inventory. If things, you know, get a little shaky or I'm fearful, well, why? What am I doing? If I run, you can plug in everything. In all our affairs, these 12 steps work. So when working with people, I love to rely on these steps, and I can run it like a filter. If they're dealing with something and all of a sudden I'm trying to take charge or I'm trying to fix or whatever, I just run through these steps. And just follow them, and they just give me the solid ground that I need to help somebody else, because everything I'm doing for myself all through the day is what I need to tell them this is working. And they can sense it in your voice. They can sense that recovery. They can feel it, and they want it. They want what you have. And, you know, am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I don't have to be, because God is the one running the show. God is the one. And so even if you're just going to call somebody up and say, good morning, how are you? Have eyes to see and ears to hear, and just follow those 12 steps. And we can help people. And that will help us to just stay where we need to be, humble, and also working the 12 steps ourselves every single day and in all aspects of our lives. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle J. And I'm sorry, Mary B., that we're not going to have time for your share this morning. So we're now going to, and I want to thank everyone who shared this morning. You just had some really amazing shares. Thank you for doing service and volunteering to get on the line and share your thoughts on this paragraph that we talked about this morning. And a special thanks to Team Monday, Maria F., Shelley E., Kara L., Shannon M., Sandy W., Mary B., and Reggie O. Thank you so much for your service and being on Team Monday this morning. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Shannon M., if you would please read a vision for you.
Hi, I'm Shannon M., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Our perspective only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.